I have a helper up here today who's going to help me just a little bit. Actually, he's just going to stand up here with me.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You're welcome to stand here if you want. This morning, I want to remind you of the good news of great joy that began on the day that Jesus was born. On December 25th each year, people's mind, it journeys back to that manger in Bethlehem. Most people don't realize that we don't really know what day or what season Jesus was born. But you see, what is important is that this time of year, they are thinking of Christ. And we need to use that as an opportunity to share with them about Jesus Christ. Most people, they love to think of the Christ child. But they fail to realize that he grew up. See, he didn't stay a helpless infant in the manger. He grew to manhood. He was put to death because of his convictions. And he is the only way of salvation. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to read for you and recount the birth of Jesus as it is recorded in the Bible. And we'll be reading from Luke and from Matthew. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' And then the angel left her." In Matthew chapter 1, at verse 18, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." And then finally in Luke chapter 2 at verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see that right there? That is the biblical account of how it happened over 2,000 years ago. Wonderful, isn't it? It's awe-inspiring. A tiny, secluded manger with its sweet-smelling straw, it comprised the humble stage upon which the most striking, significant drama of all the centuries was enacted. It was there that God, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, became human. In meekness, in humility, He came to the earth and He took on flesh and bone. And aren't you glad that He did? Aren't you glad that He came the way that He did? In humility for all of us? Now Isaiah the prophet, he recorded a marvelous prophecy hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. And we've been using that as our Advent series. I want to read it for you again. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You see, Isaiah used four names to describe Jesus because one name just simply was not enough. These names, they describe His meaning and His significance. They describe His mission and His ministry to us. The very first week, we looked at Wonderful Counselor. You see, God is sovereign. He is in absolute control. So His counsel is absolute. It stands forever. Someone once said that Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50, and Aristotle for 40, Jesus for only 3. And yet the influence of Christ's 3-year ministry infinitely transcends the impact left by the combined 130 years of the teaching of those men who were the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by this humble carpenter of Nazareth. His unique contribution to the race of man is the salvation of the soul. You see, philosophy could not accomplish that, nor art, nor literature, nor music. Only Jesus Christ can break the enslaving chains of sin and Satan. He alone can speak peace to the human heart, strengthen the weak, and give life to those who are spiritually dead. And that is because He alone is the Wonderful Counselor. So listen to Him. Listen to His supernatural, sure, and saving counsel, and let it change your life forever. And then we looked at Mighty God. See, He would be mighty in similar fashion to His ancestor David. Our Mighty God is the most powerful commander-in-chief that there ever was or ever will be. But wait. There's at least a paradox here. In this passage, God is telling people that one day a child will come, a baby, the most vulnerable of humans, one who cannot feed himself, one who cannot clothe himself, can't communicate, cannot defend himself, a completely dependent child. And this child will be Almighty God. See, that's the exciting part about Christmas. There is a baby born who will change the world. There is a small one coming with limitless power. See, Jesus, He is our mighty God who made the heavens and the earth. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is too difficult for Him. And then we looked at our everlasting God. Literally the Father of eternity. Is He staring at me? How you doing, Andrew? You see, Jesus originated time and eternity. He created it and He controls it forever. You see, time does not have a hold on Jesus, but Jesus has a hold on time. And as our everlasting Father, Jesus is not only a Father forever, He is the Father of eternity. Or more literally, a Daddy forever. That's how Isaiah would best be translated. Jesus is our Daddy forever, who will never leave us nor forsake us like so many earthly fathers have done or continue to do. So embrace Him. Embrace Him as your eternal God. Embrace Him as your eternal guardian. And remember that His name is Everlasting Father. And then finally, last week, Pastor Frank kind of challenged us as a jury to decide if Jesus is indeed the Prince of Peace. And as the Prince of Peace, it shows that peace is always a priority and never our own personal agenda. We must declare that Jesus is the Prince of Peace because this type of peace that He brings and the intensity of this peace is not available by any other king. See, the importance of the Prince of Peace image for Christians, it rests in the three dimensions of peace that we enjoy. First, there is peace with God. Second, there is peace within. And then finally, there is peace with others. Isaiah's vision of this Prince of Peace, it offers tremendous hope, blessing, and affirmation for Christians. So ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the decision is yours. Is Jesus the Prince of Peace? And that has been our Advent series. If you want to hear them in more detail, they are online and you can look at them that way. But don't we serve a wonderful Savior? See, we can marvel that He is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We can rejoice that one day He was born in a manger, that the angels announced His birth to the shepherds, and that the wise men followed the star and traveled all the way, worshiped Him and gave Him the gifts. But even greater than His birth was His life, His death, and His resurrection. He gave His life for us, each and every one of us. And now we ask that we give our lives to Him and for Him. Let me end with a story that appeared in Guidepost magazine several years ago. It says Wallace was a very large 9-year-old who was slow in mind. But nevertheless, all the children liked him because he was kind in heart. And even though he was big, he never ever bullied anyone. Wally wanted very much to be in the Christmas program that year. And he wanted to play the part of one of the shepherds. But the teacher, she had a different idea in mind. Being so big, she thought that he would be the perfect part as the innkeeper. And so it was that Wallace Perling got the part of the innkeeper. And oh, how he practiced. Now the night of the play came and everything was going beautifully. Everyone was in the right place. Not a single line was missed. And at last the play came to the part where Mary and Joseph knocked on the door of the inn. Wally answered, and in a gruffly voice he says, "What do you want?" "We seek lodging," was their response. "Seek it elsewhere. The inn is filled," Wally responded. "But sir, we have tried elsewhere. We have come a long way and we are very tired." "Go away," Wally commanded. "There is no room in my inn for you." "But sir, my wife is with child. Don't you have a corner where we can at least get out of the cold?" For the very first time, the innkeeper broke his practiced icy stare and he looked over at Mary. There was a long silence. The audience was tense with embarrassment, thinking that maybe Wally had forgotten his line. The prompter whispered, "No, be gone." And Wally half-heartedly said, "No, be gone." So Joseph sadly placed his arms around Mary, and they began to leave the stage. When suddenly, Wallace couldn't take it no longer. He was big, but cruel he could never be. With tears welling up in his eyes, he gave a performance that others would never forget. Wally called out and he said, "Wait! Don't go, Joseph! Bring Mary back." And with a smile on his tear-streaked face, he said, "You can have my room. I'll sleep out in the cold." Now, some said that the pageant was ruined, but others, they knew better. You see, Wally had learned a lesson that we all need to be sure to learn. There is no room for Jesus in our inn until we give up our place. Have you learned that lesson? Have you given Jesus the prime place in your life? I hope that you haven't turned him away, and that there is room in your inn. This morning, as we continue to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us is an innkeeper. And each and every one of us must decide if there is room for Jesus.